With What's News from the Wall Street Journal, I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli in New York. Federal prosecutors are seeking more information about the development of Boeing's 737 MAX jetliners, the aircraft involved in last week's fatal Ethiopian Airlines crash and a fatal Lion Air crash in October. Wall Street Journal reporter Andrew Tangle joins us with more details in just a moment. But first, here are some other top stories we're following. Dutch police have arrested a Turkish-born suspect believed to be the gunman in an attack on Monday that left at least three people dead and several others wounded on a tram in Utrecht. Authorities are treating the attack as a possible act of terrorism. For more details on this developing story, head to our website, WSJ.com, or the WSJ app. Trump administration officials are at odds over whether to provide immigration relief for some 70,000 Venezuelans in the United States. The Wall Street Journal reports that U.S. Special Envoy Elliot Abrams is advocating for relief so Venezuelans living in the U.S. don't have to return to Venezuela, where Nicolas Maduro is holding on to power despite widespread protests and opposition from the U.S. and other countries. The Journal reports that the White House National Security Council is grappling with how to provide relief amid the president's water crackdown on immigration. Warner Brothers CEO Kevin Tsujihara, who had just been given broader responsibilities under AT&T's restructuring of the Warner Media Unit, is now stepping down from his post following allegations of an inappropriate relationship with an actress. Tsujihara apologized for mistakes in his personal life in an internal memo last week. AT&T is investigating the alleged misconduct and has not yet named a successor. Ride-hailing service Lyft is seeking a valuation between $21 billion and $23 billion, as it markets its initial public offering on a roadshow this week. That range, which amounts to between $62 and $68 a share, is preliminary and subject to change. Shares could be priced as early as March 28th. Rival Uber is also expected to debut soon. The company has received proposals from bankers valuing it as high as $120 billion. Fidelity National Information Services, widely known as FIS, is buying Worldpay for $35 billion in cash and stock. The deal is one of the biggest in the payments sector and follows FIS's acquisition of rival software company SunGard in 2015. FIS and Worldpay say they expect their combined company to generate $500 million in additional revenue and annual cost cuts of about $400 million through combining their services. Alan Krueger, a top economic advisor to former President Barack Obama, died Saturday at the age of 58. He was known as one of the nation's most influential labor market experts and was tapped in 2011 to serve as chairman of the White House Council of Economic Advisors. Princeton University, where Krueger had taught since 1987, announced his death on Monday without stating a cause. Still to come, we'll have more details as federal prosecutors look into the development of Boeing's 737 MAX aircraft. Federal prosecutors and transportation officials are seeking documents that could shed light on the development of Boeing's 737 MAX. The aircraft have been grounded worldwide following a fatal Ethiopian Airlines crash earlier this month. Joining me now in our studio with more details is Wall Street Journal reporter Andrew Tangle. Andrew, let's start by getting up to speed with what happened over the weekend. Ethiopian authorities said the black boxes from that fatal crash showed clear similarities to the fatal crash of a Lion Air plane back in October. What else do we know so far about the possible causes?
Well, right now the investigators in Ethiopia are trying to find out what similarities there are between both crashes of the 737 MAX. A key detail, it's not clear yet if this is a similarity that is shared between the two crashes, is whether or not a new stall prevention system in the MAX was triggered in the Ethiopian Airlines crash. That's been a focus. We really don't know what other factors were at play, but at this point, the investigators who have done some early analysis of the data contained on the Ethiopian flight's so-called black boxes have said they see clear similarities.
And also over the weekend, you and our colleagues found out that a grand jury had subpoenaed documents about the 737 MAX jetliners actually the day after the Ethiopian air crash. What information are they seeking?
It was a broad subpoena seeking documents related to the 737 MAX, including emails, correspondence, messages, things of that nature. It wasn't clear what specific lines of inquiry they are pursuing or what they're interested in. But we know that there are questions at the Department of Transportation Inspector General's office about the development of the 737 MAX and how the Federal Aviation Administration worked with Boeing, the manufacturer of the plane, to approve or certify the plane through its multi-year development, safety tests, how this particular cockpit system was constructed, how it was decided what pilots would be trained on, etc. So there are some emerging lines of inquiry, but it at this point seems from the outside to be a pretty broad set of inquiries, and it's not clear how these two inquiries are related and working in tandem, if they are working in tandem.
And Andrew, what do we know from the Federal Aviation Administration and Boeing about the certification process for the 737 MAX?
Well, the regulator and Boeing share a lot of data. They work together very closely. That's just the nature of what happens when an aviation regulator approves a new airplane and has to certify for the world and the country and the airlines and the passengers that it's safe to fly. So it was a very lengthy process, very technical, very involved. There are flight tests by the company and then the flight tests to certify it. And there's a whole set of requirements that they have to meet for the airplane. And then they have to see, based on how it handles compared to the older model of the 737, how much training is involved for or should be involved for the pilots. Is it level A, B, and so forth, onto, you know, more costly and extensive simulator training, which was not an issue for the 737 MAX because it was designed to be close enough to the older model in terms of how pilots operate it that it wouldn't need extensive training. And we've written previously about how this one particular system in the cockpit aimed at preventing stalls wasn't among the so-called differences or elements of the so-called differences training that pilots were given. It wasn't included in the manuals. There's some controversy over that. It's not universally accepted. There's some disagreement among pilots and airlines and so forth about whether or not it should be, because there's an existing procedure that works to turn off the system if pilots follow it.
And Andrew, as we know from previous incidents like these, an investigation into the causes can take some time. What are you expecting in the weeks and months ahead?
Well, we have to see where these investigations go, what they turn up. Keep in mind, Congress is also going to be investigating this matter. Boeing, of course, would like to put this in the rearview mirror, I'm sure, and they are scrambling to work on and roll out a software update for the flight control system of the 737 MAX, and that would be part of the process to get the planes back in the air. And it's unclear how long that's going to take. It's not just the FAA, but many world regulators that have to agree that now the planes are safe to fly again.
Wall Street Journal reporter Andrew Tangle joining me in our studio with the latest on the investigation into Boeing's 737 MAX. Thank you so much, Andrew.
Thank you.
And that's What's News. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli in New York for the Wall Street Journal.